Hologram Radio Show. This is Cheryl Catherine Smith.
This is Ash Riot.
And we are Hologram without Kevin Stewart Swain, who we're trusting is actually listening to the program because we're hoping he will call in and lend us his wisdom over the phone because we know that Jax likes Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, there's some fresh spaghetti for you in it for you if you call.
That's right. We have some fettuccine waiting for you and some sushi. Tonight's topic is music, musicians, and suicide. And it's interesting, I've actually had a few responses to that via Twitter and via Facebook. It's really cool that we've got some peeps out there that are contacting us via these social media platforms. The majority, what we're getting is that it's kind of sad and it sounds depressing. And Ash and I were just not that long ago watching a video of what's going on in Japan. On YouTube, there's a tsunami show. They just showed it, what was happening. This one guy, I guess, just videotaped. Mm-hmm. And just horrendous, hey? And so, I mean, here we are. We're going to share a topic that maybe isn't the most cheerful, but it can have a really happy ending. And this is the point of sharing this, because each member of Hologram has personally been affected by the suicide of either a family member or a friend. And we're relating it to music because it's very much tied in with being a musician and or an artist in general. Because a lot of artists and great artists, or people that are considered great artists, have either died by suicide or indirectly via overdoses or whatnot, having to do with basically just lack of self-care. And this is what we wanted to touch upon today. And we're doing something a little bit different. We're going to be bringing in our solo songs. Ash Riot wrote a song called Elliot. And we're going to play that later on in the show. And she's going to talk to us a little bit more about that song in particular and how it pertains to suicide. And I wrote a song with Kevin Stewart Swain and Yanni Fisis and called it All Dark Places. And the lyrics are mine. And it was basically not only a coming out of addiction song, but part of my own personal addiction was actually a suicide attempt. And this was back in 1997. And this song to me basically says it all. And the reason why I wrote it was, it was about the hope. It wasn't about the hopelessness, because when we are in such a deep depression and in such a dark despair, and you don't have to be a musician to know how this feels, it's all that you feel is that sense of hopelessness and that things will never change or things will never get better. And we can even energetically feel what's going on in the world. I want to talk a little bit about why we say we're highly intuitive solo musicians. We're very sensitive. Both Ash and I are very sensitive. We believe in far more than five senses. We did a vlog recently and we said there were 24. And we had somebody go, well, tell us about those 24. We won't go into them, but our whole point is that the platforms of the different senses and our senses, our psychic abilities, let's just talk about that because most people can relate to those two words. Do you want to talk a little bit about that at all?
I mean, the 24 senses, I mean, that was just kind of loosely putting it out there. I'm sure there's many more than that, actually. But, you know, the highly intuitive thing and being highly intuitive, we all are. It's just some of us choose not to really turn that on. Some of us choose to kind of just close our eyes when we really don't have to or we really shouldn't. So what Cheryl and I both really represent is just the openness to be and to feel and to really recognize the rest of the planet and not be so shut off within our own lives to not be able to reach out. And that really focuses on intuition. I mean, you know, it's an instinct, too. I mean, even Kurt Cobain said in one of his songs, he said, "It amazes me the will of instinct." And that's a huge, that quote's been huge for me because, I mean, even if you're in a situation where you're not even sure what to do, whether it be suicide, I mean, your instinct usually is life. And it's, you know, it's so important to actually follow those instincts.
Yeah, and the reason, again, we were going to touch on this a little bit later. I really wanted to talk about this highly intuitive state that we like to stay in. It also makes us quite sensitive, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners can completely relate. As a matter of fact, I know that a lot of our listeners can completely relate because we actually have listeners who are very in tune, and some are professional psychics, and give readings and whatnot as a living. And so, shout out to those of you who are embracing your not only your higher selves, but also your gut instinct, your intuitive selves, that part of you that even the head gets in there and goes, what? But you just have a higher knowing. And that takes courage to do that. And the reason why I brought it up is one of the things I let go of when I was in my despairing place was exactly that. I had no sense and no connection to what it was to be connected to my higher self, to my intuitive self. I had lost that connection. It almost served depression and despair and drugs and alcohol and addiction in general just served as a cutoff as opposed to a channel two. So it was really, really tough. That's just putting it mildly. So I'm going to start off by asking our wonderful Donald Newsom over at BBS Radio in California, who's taking care of all our songs. We love you, Don. If you would please play Cheryl Catherine Smith's All Dark Places.
Great song ever.
Thank you.
There are places in my heart from the space where love was torn apart, and these places are waiting for you. Unhealed spaces in my heart from the place where faith and hope departed. Unhealed spaces are waiting for you. desire that I see.
So that was All Dark Places, and that song was written in 1999, I believe. My suicide attempt was 1997, and so it might have been 98, but I needed to get it out because, you know, music is a really healing and therapeutic genre and medium, and as is all art, but I find that music is something that goes, we talk about this a lot, how music is the only thing that I believe goes straight to the heart, that goes straight to that solar plexus soul part of each of us. It requires no language understanding. It's all just, it just goes right there. And I listen to that song and it takes me back, but it's also a very positive song. I was quite excited when Kevin and I were able to get it into the studio and actually create it, and Yanni Fices came on board and he punched it up and he got involved in the production and whatnot. And when it was finished, I remember hearing it and going, wow, this is such a piece of me. Like, music is such a piece of me. Everything that I create is a piece of me. It's like I give it a part of myself, and it's meant to be shared, because the whole point of that song for me was to say to others that no matter how bad it feels, no matter how dark it gets, there really is a way out. And two of the verses that stood out to me while I was listening to it again here was Healing Hands Release the Rope I'd Hung. That is my verse that directly relates to my suicide attempt. And Love Torn Faces Seek a Heart, and These Faces Are Waiting for Me. And that was what brought me out of it. A lot of our depression is based on our internal belief that we are truly alone, that we feel that nobody understands, that there is no other person who would ever get it, or it just feels so dark and so isolating and so hopeless. And the truth is that it's not. But when you're in it, it doesn't feel like it's not. You know, I don't even know what else to say. I mean, we're opening up the lines for you to call us if you have anything you want to share. This is a very poignant subject. This is a very personal subject. Even for me to share it, I'm getting emotional. And our number?
Our number is 888-815-9756. So please call in, and you know, if you have anything to say, or what the song made you feel, or anything to do with suicide, or anybody you know who's had experiences with it. We're also giving out the suicide hotline number, which is 1-800-SUICIDE. So if you know of anybody who needs that number, please pass it along to them.
Yeah, I also want to mention that we are now being sponsored, and we'd like to welcome our first sponsor to the Hologram Radio Show, and that is Spin Doctor DJ here in the greater Vancouver, BC area. And Spin Doctor DJ is Vancouver and Whistler's premier DJ service. And they are currently offering a $50 off any and all DJ services that you book prior to April the 31st in the Vancouver area. So we would encourage you to contact George at spindoctordj.net. That's spindoctordj.net. And thank you, George, for sponsoring our show. We're very, very pleased to have you be our first sponsor, and excited for any and all future sponsors. And if you're interested, give us an email at info@hologram.com. We have somebody on the line. We have Jax on line two.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jax.
So, this is an interesting topic for me because, personally, I've never struggled with depression or anything. So, it's challenging for me to understand it. But I'm married to someone who has struggled a lot with depression, understandable depression. You know, I can look at her and say, wow, I understand why you're struggling, you know, and things like that. So, I you know, it's a journey for me being sort of the supporter as opposed to the person trying to navigate it. And I think, one, I wonder if there's a, beyond the feeling of loneliness, is there maybe also a feeling that you, like the person going through it doesn't have any power, like they don't have the power to change any of the things that suck in their life. And so at some point you just say, screw it, I give up. And like, does that kind of, I know that applies to our situation here at least partly, but I wonder, does that apply like in your experiences with other people as well? Like, is like lack of personal power also a contributing factor?
And I'll answer that, Jax. This is Cheryl. My own experience with it is that when you're in a deep depression, one that's deep enough that would make you want to contemplate actually taking your life and some, you know, taking the next step and making the attempt, that kind of depression is not just about loneliness, but it is so internalized that there is a sense that nothing or no one can help. And a lot of it, my own experience, and just even my own personal experience, but also having had suicide in my family as a young age, my father and my godfather both committed suicide when I was 8 years old within the span of a year of each other, like within the span of a year. So I learned very early that death is a reality in as a part of life. And it was pretty harsh as a child to have a parent take their life and to have, you know, my dad was only 31 and my godfather was 25 years old. So we're talking, you know, two young men who had a lot of potential and who decided to take their lives. And it was all based on that, this dark depression, the sense of not mattering, the sense of powerlessness. But what I would offer here, what changed for me or what happened for me is I had to become open to recognizing that I couldn't do it alone. And I think a lot of times when we're in that place, we just feel so isolated, so alone, that we have no sense or connection. I didn't have a connection to my higher power, that's for sure. I thought Source had left me. I thought there was no reason to go on. I thought I had no value. It's almost as if the talents that I did have kind of taunted me because I felt that I wasn't even able to follow through on them. I mean, it's completely hopeless and despairing. It was very dark. And even for me to talk about it and to remember that, this happened 13 years ago. We're at 13 years now, so 14 years. So, I mean, even with that time, you know, it's very intense. Like, you could just go back. But you're asking about this powerlessness. Yes, you feel powerless, but it's so vital. You know, the thing is that the people around us can't necessarily help us. And that's the sad truth. I mean, we can get involved where we actually do some kind of an intercession or whatnot, but ultimately it's the individual who has to make a decision to go on. And we want to bring that kind of inspiration, but the individual has to recognize that there's no way they can do it alone. Just no way. And that's what that line in my song, what I meant by love-torn faces seek a heart. Like, you, Jax, you would be that love-torn faces. You're seeking me, like, and it would be you're seeking your wife. Is you just, it's the people outside of us who are kind of going, what's going on? And there's just such a separation and a helplessness and a hopelessness that's shared because the people around the person who is suicidal, they don't understand it. And they're telling that person, well, there's so much to live for and you have this and that. Yet that person has to find that within themselves. And that person has to recognize that they can't do it alone. They won't find it within themselves on their own.
So was there any way, like, I guess, you know, I know how to interact with my wife and help her out and deal with her individual circumstances. So, I'm not overly concerned about her, but there are...
Okay, Jax, unfortunately we've lost you, but I'd like to welcome Kevin Stewart Swain on line one. Kevin, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you. Hi, can you hear us?
Hello.
Hi.
So, yeah, I had a few thoughts on your subject.
Thank you. Can you please share them? This is Kevin from our band Hologram.
Okay, well, what I wanted to say, just on the specifically with artists with suicide, and it made me think of the writer James Jones, who kind of just became a big part of our lives again a little while ago when we were in Paris. But that's another story. Anyway, he wrote a book called Some Came Running, and one part in it, he talks about artists and how their appetites, their hungers are just so amplified compared to most people. Everything, if it's sex or food or drugs or whatever, they just tend to just, you know, amplify everything, so they feel everything so strong. And it's a tough racket. There's a lot of rejection, a lot of pain. And I think also with a lot of artists, that pain is always there, but they convince themselves that the hole in their life, what's missing, is that they aren't famous yet, they aren't successful yet, and they reach that and realize the pain's still there and have no idea what to do, and they just burn out. I mean, that's just, I haven't been there, that kind of success, but I've noticed even with myself, when I have limited success, things seem to get dangerous. I think for myself, I've been kind of almost guided away from too much success until I'm old enough to and wise enough to be able to handle it. But that's just a thought I had on artists in particular. I don't know what you think about that.
I think that's fabulous. I really love what you shared. Definitely artists are more susceptible to being sensitive. I was talking earlier about just being highly intuitive. There's a sensitivity there too. But when you look at all artists, to create art, to be an artist, means to really be open and vulnerable. And yes, you're right. I mean, there's many an artist who, you know, felt that fame or fortune would bring them that which they sought. And once they had that and recognized that the void was still there, then where are you left? Because there's almost like you can't go any higher. And so we've seen that with certain artists. And I agree with that author, Jones, right? James Jones?
James Jones, yeah. I'd like to say... Well, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, too, that you know, in the last little while, I kind of came to the conclusion, I spent my life wanting to be a rock star and thinking of all the riches of how wonderful that would be. And lately, it just kind of come to me that the only winners in this whole scenario are us, the listeners. The artists get, no matter how much money or whatever you give them, it's nothing compared to what we get. I think so many of them suffer and give and have so little to give us this music, and we're the winners in the end. I think whoever, John Lennon, Kurt Cobain, all that, we're the winners in the end. So, I appreciate their sacrifice, let's say that.
Wow. Yeah, that's true. It is almost the ultimate sacrifice, isn't it? To have your life taken away either by your own hand or by the hand of another, in the case of John Lennon, because of your fame, because of your, you know, being known.
Well, and getting there too, and realizing, like, just, you know, you're so hungry to be there, you're so hungry to be famous and kind of get the notoriety, and then sometimes once you even get the notoriety, it is not all it's cracked up to be. And instead of, you know, craving tons and, you know, millions of people, you want none of them. You know, you feel kind of raped in a way by all the people kind of wanting a piece of you. And you realize that, you know, sometimes it's better to be the listener, or sometimes it is better to just be the creator and not so much the, you know, go-getter of the music. So,
or what, the front person?
The front person even. Yeah, as it's been.
Yeah, the front person. Is there anything else you have to say?
Just that you don't know... I think a lot of these people don't know who to trust, who really loves them. They don't have they just don't know who's their friend anymore. And I wouldn't trade that for the world. Like, knowing I'm loved, knowing who my family and friends and, you know, that it's real. I wouldn't trade that for the world. So I'm grateful that they were willing to, because the music that these people that have suffered for their art have created, and not just music, the arts, the playwrights, you name it. I mean, it's my world. It's what I live for. So I'm kind of grateful to be where I am right now, but feeling strong enough to, to return the favor. If I could make music that would give the same feeling to other people that I've got, that would be great too. But, it's a tough road. I think people that aren't in that world should I'd like to help them kind of get an idea of what it's like for these people, because it's not all fun and games. I think they give a lot to make us happy.
And I think you're correct. And just even in the life that I've had and the people I've been privileged to meet, I've met some people that are quite famous, and it really isn't what I think a lot of the mainstream people think it's cracked up to be. Their fame isn't the be all and end all, and there's a high price to pay with a lot of fame as well. And I think some people forget that. They kind of look at their artist and they set them up as a god almost, and the artists themselves are still just their people. They're people, plain and simple, and people who have needs of wanting to be loved, to love themselves. I mean, you're talking about knowing who loves you, Kevin, and that's such a blessing for all of us. It also has to be self-love, and I think a lot of, I know for me, I didn't have self-love. That's why I wanted to take my own life. I had no sense of self. And I think that anyone who actually does take their own lives is at that place of not even having a connection to themselves and to a love of self. And that's where it all starts, is the self-love, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's illusion.
Well,
like,
thank you.
I mean, yeah.
No, thank you, Kevin. I'm so glad that you
Thanks
were able
for calling.
To be part of our show, because this is our show all together as Hologram, and it's your voice is very important. It's nice to have the male perspective. And that is our intention, isn't it? Is that we do want to write and perform and create some really great music that touches people at their deepest selves, the way we've been touched by great art too. So that's our intention as Hologram.
Okay, and I'll just I'll go so that other people can call.
Okay. Nice to talk to you, Kevin.
Bye, Kevin.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you. I mean, basically, one of the things that we wanted to talk about is, you know, we're kind of doing this in two parts. I'm sharing my own personal story as an artist and you know, having had the personal experience with suicide and with that darker part of art. And we also wanted to share how suicide affects us when other people that we care about commit suicide. How has suicide affected the music industry? How has it affected the music scene? And I would also put accidental overdoses in there as a form of suicide, because we've recently had Mike Starr die. And what's it, the band?
Alice in Chains.
Alice in Chains. And he was, you know, a known addict who was on that show, Celebrity,
yeah, Celebrity Rehab.
Rehab
with Dr. Drew.
Yeah. And so, and then he has an overdose and died. I think this was 2 days ago only.
Yeah. He died on the 8th, I think.
Yeah. And then we've got Janis Joplin and Jim Morrison and Jimi Hendrix and Ian Curtis. That he wasn't an accidental suicide, he was a hanging. It's just, you know, a lot of the artists that we really love and have inspired us to be creative artists have left this life and this planet early and tragically, you know. And Kevin mentioned John Lennon being murdered, but he's also mentioned Kurt Cobain, and it's just, you know, a lot of people. And we're going to talk about one now with Ash, the next one.
So yeah, we're I think we're gonna go to the song clip. I wrote a song on my last record that I put out about Elliot Smith, and I was always, you know, a big fan of his since when I discovered his music. I just thought he was amazing, from, you know, just the tenderness of his voice and his lyrics and everything. He always meant so much to me for some reason, but it felt on a soul level, even, like, it was just, we're both musicians. I understood what he was talking about, and I didn't get to discover him that soon before he'd passed away. He passed away in 2003. And, I remember I came back from a camping trip, and I was listening to him so much, like, every day. And, then I got really depressed for about 2 days, and I stayed in my basement, and I burnt, like, this candle down to nothing. It was this really big candle, and I still have it because it reminds me of when Elliot Smith passed away. I was stuck in the basement. I couldn't move. It was like I was going through something, just a depression. And when I finally came out of the basement, I walked upstairs, and laying open on the kitchen table was a story about Elliot Smith. He just killed himself that night. And I had his album, Either Or, on repeat for those 2 days that I was in that depression. So it's like as soon as I came out of that depression, I walked upstairs and there he was dead, not at my house, in the newspaper. And it was, I don't know why it shook me so bad. 2 days later, I went and got a tattoo for him because I just felt some kind of kinship with him. I still can't explain it, but anyway, I would like to ask our dear friends at BBS if they could roll the clip Elliot from my last record. The song is dedicated to Elliot Smith.
Well, I remember the day I woke with despair. I rushed to the table to see what was there. A picture of you, all dressed in white, the headline said, you took your life last night. You said your hellos, but not your goodbyes. No note of conclusion, or wondering why I used to spend nights alone with your words. I swore that one day sky was boring and gray, whispering, why should I sew my lips shut? Upon my guitar, I never thought you'd take your pain that far. So now, Prince of the Darkness, Ghost of the Strings, follow behind me, listen to me sing these calluses.
my song Elliot from my last record, This Time I'll Forgive You Again. And it was a song that was essential for me to write, because even though I haven't been suicidal myself, you know, even though I haven't you know, obviously committed suicide because I'm still here, I was severely affected by a suicide of somebody I didn't even know. So I can't imagine how people can be so affected with somebody who ends their own life that they knew, or somebody who's even like, you know, even to be suicidal, even if you don't commit suicide, but that almost threat of taking one's life and being suicidal is really intense. So I couldn't imagine, you know, what people at that time were going through. I mean, even you think back to Kurt Cobain, and when he passed away, how many thousands and thousands of people were by the Space Needle, how many thousands of people were bawling their eyes out and lighting candles. And, you know, I remember that because it happened in my world. Like, when, you know, I was younger, but I saw it and I didn't quite understand it, but I felt it. And, you know, that's kind of even going back to what we're, you know, I'm straying from the subject a little bit, but even what we're going through in our world right now, how even, you know, through the tsunami and everything going on, it's like people are dying and we're feeling it. We're feeling the energy of something so destructive. And in a way, it's a suicide as well, because it's what we've done to the earth. It's what we're doing to it. And that's why everything's getting so screwed up. And in a way, I mean, it feels suicidal. It feels like that same energy. And, you know, I'm feeling, even, you know, listening to that song again, the exact place that I was when I wrote that. And I'm seeing the basement. I'm hearing his music, and you know, I'm feeling that actual essence of the total despair. And you know, I anybody who's going through that, I mean, listen to Cheryl's song, listen to this song. You know, there's so many places you can go to actually, you know, create the art that you need to create in order to satiate that part of you that's you know, self-destructing. Because I mean, you can turn that into a positive energy. So I'm not going to say easily, because I know it's not, but you can. It's not impossible. I know that sounds kind of preachy, but I mean, I've seen people, I've seen my friends go through things that aren't even imaginable, and they've pulled themselves back up. I mean, even Cheryl, even me, like things that we've gone through, we've turned it into the positive. And that's why we're sitting here talking to you about the Hologram Radio Show and talking to you about everything that we're talking to you about. So, thank you for listening to that song, and I hope you enjoyed it. And we're going to open the phone lines again. So 888-815-9756. Please call in. Just say hi. Let us know you're listening to the show. If you have any thoughts on the suicide, I'm going to give back to this girl right here named Cheryl.
Back to me. I am. You know, it's interesting, too, how we so connect to people through their art. It's almost as if they become a friend, even when we haven't met them. Mm-hmm. And there's an intimacy that develops, and there's an understanding that develops, even if it's one-sided or it's perceived to be one-sided. And so you can have someone like Elliot Smith pass away and be basically, you know, stay in your room for 2 days and listening to his songs on repeat because you are so affected. And it's not so much, I think what it is, it's a shared empathy. It's an understanding. It goes beyond he's a stranger, because he's not. We're not really strangers. We think of ourselves as strangers and so separate, but there's that unity that each of us feels, that pain. I mean, I'm sure a lot of you are feeling it right now for Japan. You know, in the solar plexus, you can just feel that sense of tragedy and that sense of despair and that looming belief that all is lost. And that is the biggest thing and the biggest hurdle for anyone who is in such a deep depression that they want to jump over it. It's just that you don't want to get to a place of truly believing it. I read an article once about people that had jumped off of the San Francisco bridge, and they actually did a study. I can't even remember. I wish I would remember the name of it, but it was a study. You might even be able to Google it, on people that had survived jumps, that they were actually taking their lives, and they jumped off the San Francisco bridge, and they lived. And this person had gone to the lengths of finding the ones who had survived and what were their thoughts. And the consensus was, the one mainstream that went through each of them was that as soon as they jumped, they thought, I shouldn't have done it. That was what each of them were going, oh my God, pretty much, is that they didn't want to, they wanted to reverse their decision, but it was irreversible at that point. And so I think this is a lot, you know, this is a case of understanding what it means to stay here, understanding what it means to stay alive, understanding and believing that it's not going to be so terrible. And a lot, you know, our belief systems consume us so much too. So a lot of this, like Ash was saying, it's not super easy, but it's actually transcending a belief system often. And that's where the difficulty is we have to reframe our thinking. And I'm thinking about Jax right now, and she's sharing about her wife, and there's probably some reframing that has to occur, some new belief systems that have to be adopted, some old belief systems that no longer serve that have to be let go. And the sad thing about suicides with artists that I find quite sad, but I understand it, but I think it's sad, is that as soon as an artist is gone, their record sales go up. You know, we think about how popular and how much money Elvis has made ever since he's died. You know, it's and even Kevin, who he was sharing tonight that when he found out about Kurt Cobain's suicide, he actually bought all of the Nirvana's albums after, you know, because he wanted to connect to the artist. I think what it is that we want to understand. And it's almost as if we feel that we can find the answers in the music. And because we want to understand what it means to be alive, what it means to stay alive, what it means to be inspired to be alive, what it means to be connected to each other. What, you know, this is another reason we've talked about this. I think both, I know Kevin enjoys reading biographies as much as I do, and Ash and I have talked about it too, is we have a fascination with other people's lives because there's so many answers. You're like, how did you deal with it? You know, what is your life story? You know, was it all golden roads and rainbows and flowers and, you know, like a musical, like a Hollywood musical? Has your life been just, you know, laid out on a golden serving platter for you? Or is it really about struggle? Is it really about our challenges? Is it, you know, for those of us who've been abused or who've been raped or who've had tragedies in your life? I mean, I've had a friend recently who, just very recently, it's a huge tragedy. She lost her infant son. And I, you know, going through that with her, it's how do we do this? How do we look to Japan and go, wow, you know, without saying glad it was me, right? Just to go to that place of empathy and sending them that connection, that soul connection, the same way we would do to other artists. We have Jax back online too. Hi, Jax. Welcome back.
Hey, you don't know what happened before, but what happened? You know, what can you do?
Well, thank you for calling back.
I think, you know, part of when it comes to artists, you know, we definitely have this idea that, you know, artists have to be tortured and, you know, have to be all dark and, you know, like that art can't be created out of joy. And it's just, I think, you know, we can never... You know, there are always going to be individuals that struggle with their darkness, and it's going to be unfortunate, but it's their journey to go through. But I think that, you know, having people like you guys who write songs that, you know, yes, you can, you know, we'll write songs about our darkness, but at the end you realize that it's not going to stay dark, you know, and these songs can help other people realize that they don't have to stay stuck in their darkness, and maybe there is hope, you know, and... Maybe, you know, as the world awakens more and evolves spiritually more, then we could start to really finally break this idea that the more tortured you are, that must mean you're becoming better and better at your art and that you're going to be a better artist for it. And, you know, maybe that will finally start to break this cycle of, you know, artists just getting so bogged down in their darkness and then we lose them too early. Which is always, you know, a horribly sad thing.
Well, I mean, like,
and
even
so I
for
think you guys are part of the solution. Just that was my blurb.
Thank you so much, Jax. Because, and you know what? Like, even being a music teacher and me seeing all these students and who they're inspired by and different, you know, artists that they get drawn into, I've had a few students even in the past year. I can actually count on more than five fingers on students who have all gotten really inspired by an artist from suicide, an artist that was into drugs because of suicide. And they thought in order to better understand their music, they'd have to go down that route. And I've had kids, you know, suspended from school because they started using coke. I've had students who have, you know, just decided that they need to be inebriated in order to even feel the music from an artist they particularly are inspired by. And just that in itself is kind of a recipe for disaster. Because we just have to kind of really find a way to switch the way we're thinking and not even, you know, do outreach about, say, about suicide or anything. Like, it doesn't have to go that far. It has to go, it's even before that. You have to go to the very source and go, okay, let's change our way of thinking first because, you know, then we won't have to, you know, do as much groundwork. Let's actually change it. Let's show people that art can be created from positivity and, you know, and have that available too because people, if it's more widely available, like even just artists who have, like Cheryl and like I, like listening to All Dark Places, that got me out of my darkest place. And just if that's widely available and you know, people even support independent music and in able to do that, we're going to be able to, you know, get these kids and, you know, these adults music that is actually being created from a place that's not really trying to get out early. So I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, like, people think that the drugs make them better. You know, it allows them to tap into their genius. But I think really it's, you know, they're a genius in spite of the drugs, not because of the drugs. And, you know, not because of, you know, being depressed all the time. It's just, I think it's, for a lot of people, that's just easier. Rather than, you know, how many artists are, you know, they're artists because they're sensitive. They're sensitive on some level, whether they're actually psychic or not. They're very sensitive to emotions, and otherwise they wouldn't be able to create art. It doesn't work. That's the reason why people like me, very logical people, you know, on one level, are not good at writing things, because people don't want to read that. That's boring as hell. People get into things because of the emotion behind it. And but our society is so closed off emotionally that people, you know, the only way they know to cope, the only coping mechanism our society teaches them is drinking, drugs, sex, all things, you know, destructive behaviors. And, you know, hopefully this will all start to get a little better as, you know, hopefully our society matures and accepts that, hey, you know, the even going back to previous weeks, the feminine energy is not a bad thing. And, yeah, you know, if you can embrace that, you're going to not deal with nearly as much darkness and depression. Because you're not going to be afraid of your own emotions, and it creates a whole healthier balance.
That's really beautiful. Thank you for, I love your eloquence, Jax. Mm-hmm. And every time you've called in and shared your eloquence with us and your thoughts, it comes from a place of wisdom, and I want to thank you for sharing it with us, and thank you for your accolades for us too as artists. It really means a lot to us. I'm reminded as you're speaking of two different writers. Ken Kesey talked about drugs for artists, that drugs would serve only to a certain point, but afterwards we had to go it alone, basically. I'm really paraphrasing him. But the essence of that was, with artists, I mean, we've been artists for much of our lives, between all of us. So we know the art, we know the music scene, we know there's a lot of drugs in the music scene. We were involved in that world as well. So we're very well aware, because a lot of artists want to expand. You know, it's all about the greater experience. So a lot of artists will naturally kind of go towards drugs and alcohol, is thinking that that will offer them that expansion. But I like Ken Kesey because he touches on, yeah, okay, sure, artists can use, or anyone can use drugs to a certain point if they choose. But the fact is that it doesn't take them the whole way. And I think this is what's happened, is a lot of people think in the arts that drugs or alcohol will take them the whole way. It will blow their mind, expand them, make them better creative artists, when in fact it actually serves the opposite. We look at our own lives and how drugs affected us. I mean, it doesn't make you super creative. I mean, it actually kind of is counterproductive for the most part. You know, that's a whole other show when we talk about that, which we probably will actually at some point in the future. We'll talk about that a little more in depth, but right now we're just really talking about the effects of it, which basically is the depression and that sense of not wanting to be here anymore. And so Ken Kesey touched on that. And then you've got William Blake, the Doors of Perception, he talked, which is what the Doors were all about too. And Huxley, I mean, all of these great writers who talked about the road to excess is often the path to wisdom in a sense. But the fact is that too much excess, we're not going anywhere. We're just basically ending it. So I'm really sad when I see young people emulating the people that are the artists who have killed themselves or who have taken the road of drugs, and it's not even that the artists themselves have made it, like, said, yeah, this is the way to go. I think the kids of today are kind of, I sound like I'm from the 50s. I think the kids of today are. I think what it is that it's this mindset that you you think that this is an idealized way of being a creative artist. It's almost as if the listener, as Kevin was saying, it's kind of better to be the listener. But the listener misinterprets it. It's not like the artist is actually saying, hey, this is the way to live. A lot of times, one of the greatest gifts I had was an addictions doctor who said to me, he said, you know what, Cheryl? Drugs are a coping mechanism, albeit an unhealthy one. And that was one of the best gifts I had, because I always kind of felt ashamed, because you get to a point where drugs aren't just for fun anymore. They're just, you have to do them. You're addicted. And there's a lot of shame around it, and the shame breeds depression. It's kind of like this cycle. And for him to say, yeah, they're a coping mechanism, and you're talking about not wanting to feel, and we do, but we don't. It's really interesting. Like, we want to feel everything, but then as soon as we start to feel, we want to shut down. So we put on our computers, or we put on our televisions, or we, you know, grab 10 beer, and we basically just shut down. And so how can we connect to ourselves? How can we connect to each other? How can we be in love? How can we be truly creative? And this is why we're talking about this, because we don't want to shut down. And what a person who's in a major depression has to know is that it's okay to feel, and their feelings will not kill them.
That's exactly it. That's a perfect thing to say, because, I mean, even like a lot of people that even, you know, the artists that we've talked about tonight, were so afraid to feel that killing themselves was easier. It's like they had the drugs. They had the drugs to make them not feel. And when that made them sick enough and they didn't want to feel anything, they did the ultimate, you know, numbing agent of death. And it's not the way to go. Like, suicide is not good.
Yeah, we actually have a song that we haven't fully developed yet, but that it's called Suicide Not Good. And we have come to believe that suicide isn't good, that each life has value. Each of us on this planet aren't here just because. We each have value. And when we get to a place of not wanting to be here, we have to ask ourselves why. And instead of just thinking that killing ourselves is the answer, we've got to recognize that there's a reason why we're here, and maybe we might want to think about it before we do that, because we're assuming that death is the solution, but none of us really know what is beyond death. What would be if, you know, if you actually say, okay, I'm going to end it all, that means it's over, it's done, and then you do that, and then you're going, uh-oh, it's not. I mean, who are we to even say that? Again, that's a whole other show, like what lies beyond death. But the assumption is that if I do this, it will end. But that's an assumption. And I think people have to be really careful to think that it will end. What if it actually got worse? What if this is part of your challenge in life so that you can get beyond it, so that you can find joy? Because I ultimately believe this. I do. Each of us inherently are meant to be joyful. Each and every one of us. Period.
What can I really say to follow that? That's perfect. I mean, we just all have to actually, like, and you know, this is going to sound, I don't mean to sound harsh here, but I mean, once you pull your head out of your ass and you really go, okay, you know what? Like, I have been deep down in this depression, you know, but I remember a time when I wasn't. And just being able to think back, just being able to, you know, maybe think forward that maybe things like that can happen again. Or, you know, maybe my purpose comes from something deeper than the negativity that I'm sprouted in. Even that tiny, tiny light is enough to lead you through the tunnel. So, I mean, just think positive. Positive is the best way. Like, that's what gets me through, thinking positive every day.
But until you can actually think positive for yourself, this is for those of us who have experienced deep depression or who are currently in deep depression. Until you can actually get to that positive place on your own, you have to act as if, and mm-hmm. you have to ask for help
exactly.
with it. Because there's no way when you're that dark and that deep, if you're in that deep depth of darkness, it's not like snapping your fingers,
no.
I'm going to think positive. I think a lot of times we think something's wrong with us even more, that we can't pull ourselves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can't when it's that deep. You have to act as if and ask for help. And that would be the biggest thing I would say. And I'd like to end this with also mentioning again the suicide hotline, 1-800-SUICIDE. I am Cheryl Catherine Smith. I'm a member, an honorary board member of suicide.org. That's another great, what do you call it? An organization that, that helps people who are suffering with thoughts of suicide or who have had people in their lives who have committed suicide and it's affected them. I also want to thank our sponsor, Spin Doctor DJ. Once again, Vancouver's and Whistler's premier DJ service. And there is a $50 off any DJ service booked prior to April 31st in the Vancouver area if you just contact George at spindoctordj.net.
Also, very quickly, our website is going up. Our website is going to be going up tonight, the official hologram website, hologram.com. Holo-gram.com is going to be up. So please take just head over there and take a look. We've just been designing it, and it's done. It's done as of, like, tonight. So we're going to be putting it up. So please check.
That's right. And you can, if you're interested in being a sponsor for our Hologram Radio Show, you can contact us at the Hologram website, info@hologram.com.
We love sponsors.
We love sponsors, and thank you again, Spin Doctor DJ, for sponsoring this. Thank you, Jax and Kevin, for calling in. Thank you all for listening. We really hope that you know your value. We really hope that you know how much you truly are loved, that we're not really strangers to each other. It's just an illusion. And we want to just send you blessings, and we want to send Japan blessings, and we want to say, let's rock Mother Earth and look after her. And thank you again, everyone.
We're Hologram. Kiss a tree.
Bye.